For a long time, Friday the 13th has been known superstitiously as an unlucky day. However, Friday the 13th of November 2015 will now be known for a much worse reason. On this day, Paris suffered the most harrowing terrorist attack in recent history.
Hello, welcome to a BBC News special. I'm Lucy Hawkins. Our breaking news
welcome
this hour.
Welcome back. We have some breaking news for you out of Paris, France. Several people have been killed and seven others injured following a shooting in central Paris.
This is an ABC News special report. Now reporting, George Stephanopoulos.
And we are coming back on the air right now with more on that horrifying night in Paris. Police have now confirmed at least four attacks in the city of Paris tonight. One at the Stade de France, where there was a major soccer game between France and Germany. The French president, François Hollande.
Today, I'm going to be speaking to three people who tell me about their experiences in France, their opinions, and their religious and theological views. Welcome to Think Tank. My first guest on the show is Justine Belaïde. She is a politics student who lives in Bordeaux. She has family and friends in Paris, and she did an interview with me over Skype to tell me exactly how she found out about the attacks and what it's been like for her in France. So Justine, tell me, how did you first hear about the attacks in Paris?
So last night I was watching TV. I don't know what I was watching. Anyway, I was watching some stuff about music, and then I switched to another channel to watch the football game. It was France versus Germany, I think, and it was taking place in Paris, well, next to Paris. And then I switched the channel when they stopped the actual game, and there was like people talking on the field, like being interviewed. So I didn't really know what was going on, where they were not playing football. So I looked up on the internet, and I saw a lot of articles about it, like saying there was a suicide attack next to the stadium. And the thing is, the French president was in there, like was in the stadium for the match. So it had to be, so they had to take him out of the stadium and to get him back to the palace, to the Elysium. And then meanwhile, there was another attack in the center of Paris, it's like the 10th, I don't know how you call that in English, but basically it's like a place where there are all the restaurants where young people go on a Friday night. Like it's really, really popular, and lots of people every time, and especially last night because it was quite, it was not really cold like outside, it was kind of warm. So people were outside really, like they were having fun. And some guy drove in like a black car, I think it was black, and shot people in a terrace of the restaurant. And then he continued driving after shooting those people, and he drove and met his other partners. And they went into a concert hall, and they killed a lot of people there, and they held him hostage as well. And some of them managed to get out of the concert hall, but before the actual attack and before the actual shooting, but not many of them. And I think that's it.
And how did you react on hearing the news?
It's really terrifying because I think everyone was in shock. And then the president, once he came back from the stadium, he made an announcement on TV saying that he was declaring the emergency state, which hadn't been declared since, I think, 1958, something like that. Like on the whole territory, it was declared other times, but now it's on the entire territory. So it's a really like So it means a lot. It means that it's really important, and it doesn't happen really often, so it's really important. And also it decided to close the frontier, but obviously, like, you can't really close the frontier, so he just put some policemen on the frontiers and put controls, like, yeah.
What can you tell me of your knowledge actually happened on Friday?
It took, like, the shootings took place in next to the Republic Square. It's called the Place de la République. And it's kind of a big symbol for, like, it's a big symbol of Western culture. And politically, it's really important as well, because many other chief of political parties have called for a union, like, to get united and stuff. It takes place in a very complicated context, because right now in France, they're preparing the UN conference about climate. So they're gonna be, like, I think almost 200 heads of state united in Paris, gathered in Paris in like a month, and they don't really know whether they're gonna organize it or if they're gonna cancel it, because it's really, like, risky, because, like, there's so many important people going to be there, so it's gonna be really hard in terms of security and stuff. Like, in France, we had this thing during First World War, when there was a crisis, obviously, and where all political parties called for a sacred union. I don't know how to translate it. Yeah, it's probably the right translation, and that's what they asking for right now. So it's going to change the political landscape, I think.
And do you think that Paris is going to be different now for a few days, a few weeks, even longer?
Well, in terms of tourism, at first it's going to crash tourism for at least a few weeks. I don't really know. I can't really tell now. But it just happened. So obviously it's going to change for a few days, because we're in a, like, they declare that we're in a national grief. So obviously it's going to be running really slow in the country, because loads of roads are closed, loads of shops, loads of schools. Yeah, in Paris, it's going to be horrible for the people living there. Like, most people here today couldn't go food shopping. Like, they couldn't go grocery shopping just because most of the stores were shut. And it's not going to reopen like that. It's going to take a while to reopen and for the shop owners to be more confident and less scared and stuff, so.
And finally, Justine, what, in your opinion, can you hope for Paris now? What do you hope will happen in the near future?
I just hope it's not going to happen again. And I know it's not going to happen in the next few days, obviously, because there are just too many policemen around. Like, they won't take the risk of getting caught. But what I hope, I don't know, maybe I hope it's going to change the mentalities, like how people think about the conflict. And also I hope it's going to change the way people feel about migrants, because I've gone through Facebook a lot the past few days, and that's the thing I hate about social networks. Like, you can see beautiful things on it, and you can see horrible things. And there were some people who were not showing any compassion for either the families of the victims or even the families of the migrants, because now I think that we've been attacked and we know what the migrants have to suffer in their own country. And I hope it's gonna change people's mentalities, like how they perceive the migrants, because they're not only looking for money, they're looking for a shelter. So yeah, so just, I hope so. I hope it's gonna change. I think it's the most important now, because about the attacks, we can't really know what's going to happen next. Like, we can't really know. We can only hope for nothing to happen. But I hope that the governments will open their eyes on the real situation of the migrants, because it's like what happened today is horrible. What happened last night is horrible, but it's nothing compared to what they're living like every day in their own country. It happens every day there. So it just, yeah. So I hope it's gonna change.
What we heard from Justine was really interesting, as it gave us quite a good perspective from what it's like in France. Obviously, it hits home a lot harder there, since it's their home country, and effectively, they don't know what's going to happen in the future. My next guest was Katie Shivak, a religious and theological studies student at Cardiff University, and she told me all about the religious and the theological side of what happened, as well as her own opinions on the disaster. So, Katie, how did you find out about the attacks?
Well, one of my housemates is half French, and he went over to watch the France-Germany game. So everyone was messaging him the morning after, when everyone woke up, asking him if he was all right. And then from there, I went to look at the news and saw what had happened the night before.
And how did you react when you found out? I'm guessing you were quite worried since your housemate was there.
I was obviously worried primarily for his safety, but then once we found out he was all okay, it was just shock, really. I think it hit home.
As a student who studies religion and theology, do you feel that some people are unfair to blame Islam as a religion? There's been a lot of reports in the news about, and on Facebook and social media, about people, like many events that's happened in the past, such as 9/11, blaming Islam as an entire religion, especially in America. Do you feel that that's unfair? Do you agree that the general consensus is it's unfair to blame Islam?
I believe that it is unfair, but it's not surprising. And obviously, from historical events, it makes sense to a lot of people that don't know a lot about Islam as a religion to blame a lot, you know, any terror attack that has happened onwards since 9/11.
I guess the problem people have is that at the moment it's reported that Islamic State or ISIS have committed the attacks because they did release a statement saying that they have taken responsibility. Do you feel that Islamic State were right to commit the attacks under the name of Islam? We know that Islam is generally a very peaceful religion, and I know that a lot of Islamic people, a lot of Muslims, don't agree with the tragedies that have happened in Paris.
I do not. With any faith, a lot of people not aim to be absolutely pacifist, but they aim to keep the peace, both physically and, you know, welfare-wise. And to use Islam as a motivation to commit such terrifying attacks is totally unjustified. You have a religious scripture as a whole in Christianity, in Islam, in Judaism, that majoritively aim to keep the peace and to love one another. You have the Ten Commandments, you have the Torah, you have the Pentateuch, and obviously in Islam you've got the Quran. And although there are verses that might influence followers to behave immorally, that is in the defence of their faith if it's provoked. There's no, you know, no one has been provoked in this scenario, and the factor that outweighs this retaliation is a concentration on love and peace and universal cooperation. And I don't believe that, interpreted or not, these attacks can be motivated by scripture, because it can't solely be motivated by scripture, because the majority of scripture is positive and aims to unite people. not kill.
How do you feel about different ways religion is interpreted? For example, how ISIS or Islamic State have interpreted the religion in their own way and have then gone on to commit these attacks?
I feel like interpretation comes secondary to actions. So I don't think that someone would read scripture at a random time in their life and think, I'm going to go murder 1,000 people. I think they would have that thought before reading scripture, and it's not, the scripture isn't used as an excuse, but they might say, okay, I interpreted it like this. This is the reasons for my actions. I think that if you interpret it how the leader of the faith in the holy books would encourage you to, then it would always be to keep the peace. So I think that these people that have gone ahead and killed, I think they would have had that motivation from a previous uproar, and then they used the rules of their own faith to support this. I don't think that they could primarily interpret it like that, otherwise they'd have done it at a much younger age, as with their parents, and that's not what's happened.
Moving away from religion and more onto just the situation itself, how do you feel that France have reacted? Obviously, it's an incredibly difficult situation, and we've heard from our previous guest that she lives in Bordeaux, and she felt very, very scared. How do you feel that the French government have handled it with shutting borders and calling in this state of emergency?
I think they've handled it very well. I think they've handled it as well as they can. I don't think they can do any more. I think if there was going to be another devastation, you know, touch wood, it would have happened by now. And I don't think... I think they've dealt with it as a deterrent. I think that future occurrences will happen imminently, because there is such tight, you know, like you said, border control and the whole state of emergency. I don't think anyone will step out of line now, because there's police on every corner. I was only saying the other day, this is probably the safest time to travel there. It might seem like a crazy thing to say, but they've probably never been as up on security as they have in years, you know, since the other day.
As for the security in our own country, there were reports that there was a grenade found in someone's hand luggage at Gatwick Airport in one of the terminals, and the whole airport was evacuated. Do you feel that there is now a risk to London or even Cardiff being another capital city in Great Britain?
I'm sure there is risk. There's risk everywhere because the countries are so close. But then again, the security, again, will have been upped here because they are, you know, the closest places for a next target.
We've noticed that since Friday on social media, such as Facebook, people have updated their profile pictures to have an overlay of the French flag, which shows support for peace in Paris. However, some people have the view that we're being very favouritist towards France, since there were other tragedies, such as attacks in Beirut and Baghdad and an earthquake in Japan. Now, some would argue that we're doing that because we're a lot closer to France as an allied nation, but also since it's very close to us. Would you argue that we're right to be supporting France, perhaps more than the others, or would you feel another way?
I don't know about everyone else, but I only heard about the other events much after the terror attacks in France. And I don't know whether that's geographically because we're closer to France, or because we might not have heard about them for ages anyway, and they were only brought up as an argument as to why France, you know, people were warming more to France, because we didn't know about all these other devastations in the world. I think we're right to support France, both geographically, both because of the scale. You know, I don't know about the other, you know, problems in the world, but obviously you heard a lot more readily about the amount of people that had been affected in France.
Do you think it's a possibility that the media are biased and have only been reporting on Paris and have neglected to mention the tragedies in Japan, Beirut and Baghdad, as well as other places?
I would say so. And I think even if there hadn't been the recent events in France, we still wouldn't have heard massively about the other problems. I think you'd heard a lot about them in broadsheet news, but not as often updated as we heard about Paris. I won't say rightfully so, but obviously the others are still as devastating. Obviously, we know more of the scale of the people affected in France, and I think that's the most shocking thing, and I think that people are more likely to watch out for, because a lot of people have family in France, like it's only across the water.
Back in January, there was what is known as the Charlie Hebdo attacks, where journalists for the magazine Charlie Hebdo were killed in a terrorist attack by ISIS. Do you feel that this situation is a lot different? When we spoke to Justine earlier, she said that it was different because it wasn't as big a state of emergency, therefore they could have these peace marches, whereas now in Paris it's difficult because the police don't want big crowds. Do you feel like this is a more serious situation than the Charlie Hebdo incidents?
I feel like this is a slightly different situation because the people targeted, like with Charlie Hebdo, it was obviously the journalists and the people that supported the paper, like the big names that were the people that were targeted. Whereas in this situation, recently, I feel like it was everyone and everything. Am I right? So, although it's just as terrifying, it's just as horrible, you knew that in January things were going to be temporary, which is why they're allowed to march for peace, and things were wrapped up pretty quickly. It was devastating, but you knew it'd come to an end, and the people that were going at it were caught quite early on. Whereas in this situation, you don't know if there's people still out there that have got away with the attacks the other day. And obviously the scale is much larger and the target of people is much larger, so that might mean there's more people to go at in the future. Whereas, like I said, in January they kind of got the main figures and they kind of like just retracted away from the attention, whereas here there's a lot more people being fueled. Yeah, you hear about these people being influenced by people abroad, like for example in Syria, and they are fueled by recent events. They go over and join these states. This is a much bigger event, and you might have people, whether it's girls, boys, you know, teenagers or middle-aged people, sat at home in the Western world that are then motivated to go abroad and join these big organisations that aim to do bad. You never know.
And finally, what can you hope that France will achieve in the next few weeks? What do you hope will help overcome this tragic situation?
I hope they come together as a nation, because in these sorts of situations it's easy to isolate themselves, whether that be city-wise or family-wise or faith-wise. It's easy to bring yourself in, whereas if they work together they'll feel a lot more safe, a lot more secure, and have a lot more hope for the next, well, for the forthcoming future, that everything will be okay. Whereas if they do kind of go into their own holes, which is human nature, they might struggle a lot more to get over what's just happened.
Thanks for joining us, Katie. This has been Katie Shivek talking to me at Cardiff University, talking about the attacks in Paris on Friday. My talk with Katie was fascinating. I never knew all this about religious scriptures and the different ways that people interpret religion, but it really did bring to light that evidently ISIS don't interpret Islam the same as most other people. This can also be seen in my next interview. I spoke to Hasnan Hussein. He's a friend of mine. He also studies religious studies with Katie at Cardiff University. He told me about how he reacted to the Paris attacks, and what it's like from a Muslim perspective, and how things have changed being Muslim after all these horrendous ISIS attacks over the last few years. Here's the interview with Hassanan. I'll apologise now for the sound quality. We had gale force winds the other day, and you can hear some of the whistles coming through the window. Anyway, here's the interview. I'm joined with Hassanan Hussein, a religious studies student at Cardiff University, also a member of the Islamic Society, who's here to talk about the attacks in Paris from a Muslim perspective. So firstly, Hassanan, how did you hear about the attacks?
Basically, I heard about the attacks from... It was about 2 days ago, I think. I heard it first from my friends, because... I wasn't keeping up with the news then, but I heard it from my friends, and then I looked it up for myself, and I was quite surprised by it. Actually, I saw a Facebook post, and it said one of my friends who was in Paris, she was marked safe during the Paris attacks. So I was assuming what was happening there. So I looked it up, and I found out that there were attacks that happened by a few terrorists, and I looked further into the event. So,
and upon hearing the news, how did you react? What was your first impression of what happened?
I was quite upset. To be honest, I wasn't shocked because there have been quite a few things like this in the news lately. Anyway, in the Middle East. The thing is, to be honest with you, I was quite angry. I was quite tired as well of hearing the same thing again and again in the news. I realised that a lot of my friends, they were very shocked. I remember visiting some of my flatmates, my previous flatmates, about 2 days ago, and I was I was expecting really lively atmosphere because they're really lively people. Right, when I went in, they were crying. Yes, they were crying because. They were really worried about their own safety, and they were also worried about just their own friends as well. Because the thing is, for me, I've always seen these things in the news, but for them, because it's so close, it happened so close. For them, it just dawned on them that it can happen anywhere, right? And so that's why they were very worried. They were looking at videos about ISIS and. You know, it was just... And they were asking me questions as well.
So recently, over the last few months, we've been hearing all over the news about the refugee crisis. And some people have been saying that this could be the fault of Syrian refugees or refugees from somewhere in the Middle East. How do you feel about this response? Do you think it's fair to blame the Syrian refugees when we don't know? Or do you think this is quite heavy-handed of some people?
I don't think it's fair to blame the Syrian refugees at all, because one thing to realise is that I think a lot of this has got to do with the media and the way the media portrays the refugees, like in a lot of newspapers as well. A lot of that is not even true. A lot of that is it's all convoluted. It's all heightened. But a lot of the rhetoric you hear about refugees is not true in the media. Secondly, I think you have to realise that a lot of these refugees, they escape terrorism, right? They escape these crises to live to establish a safer life, a safer, more peaceful life here, and that's why they're actually escaping these areas, and then to add more stress and problems on their lives, you know, by putting the blame on them. It's not fair.
So how do you feel about France shutting the borders? Now, this could just be for security, which would make so much sense, but other people have been suggesting that Britain should shut their borders to refugees and that maybe France might not open their borders again to refugees. Do you think that's fair?
No, I don't think that's fair, because, and I don't think it makes sense either, because again, like I said, most of the refugees actually are escaping oppression and terrorism. They're not coming to carry out these acts of terrorism. They're seeking safety and sanctuary in Europe anyway. They're seeing this place as a safe haven, as somewhere they can establish a better life. You know, they don't hate these They don't hate Europe. They don't hate the West. They don't hate the West. They don't hate these countries. Secondly, shutting off the borders isn't going to stop stop terrorism. It's not going to stop homegrown terrorism. You know, a lot of people are radicalized here. In certain schools, and then they go off to join terrorist groups such as ISIS, etc. So it's not going to solve the issue by shutting off borders.
And what do you think about IS or Islamic State or ISIS defending their actions in the name of Islam?
I think that's a very big question, because as a Muslim myself, it's something that I feel strongly about. You know, there is a sense that, you know, your religion is being hijacked or misused by a certain group of people who say that what they're doing is in the name of Islam, but it actually isn't. And it makes me angry, because Islam itself is a very peaceful religion. It stands for peace and it stands for tolerance, and all those good values.
So obviously there's been a massive response to the Paris attack, as well as other terrorist attacks over the last few years. How do you feel about people blaming Islam as a religion, which is it's something we hear about quite a lot on social media?
I think with regards to the terrorist attacks, you have to realise it's not just about religion. You know, people don't get just radicalised because of religion. There's so many factors to why people get radicalised. It could be their upbringing, they're probably frustrated about certain issues, and then they just so happen to come across clerics or come across a group of extremists that they want to vent out their frustrations with. So, you know, it's not just about religion. And secondly, like I said, Islam is a religion which stands for peace and tolerance. So when you're blaming Islam for it, you're forgetting the fact that a majority of Muslims are actually peaceful, and the majority of Muslims actually condemn these acts of terrorism anyway. You also forget that the Muslim community is very diverse. You know, it's so diverse. You know, you can't just bracket these acts under the name of Islam, because you're giving into that rhetoric which you find in the media, which blocks out the majority voice, and then you add to that kind of polarization, that kind of polarization, that kind of hatred which separates and causes like minority communities and the wider community to become separated.
On that subject, and also to do with shutting the borders, there's been a few news stories about people being, one might say, quite racist, quite discriminatory since the Paris attacks in Britain as well. So recently there's a hair salon that said they wouldn't serve anyone who is Muslim, even if they had a British passport. Yeah. How do you react about people behaving in this way, discriminating against Muslim people?
I think to an extent, it's not entirely the fault of the people who react in this way, because they're frustrated. I feel they're frustrated. I feel a lot of them are afraid themselves. So one way to get to through to people like that is through negotiation, and actually they need to realize that, you know, when they talk to Muslims or when they talk to people or different to them, they'll realize that actually Muslims are not bad people. They're nice people, and they're people you can get along with, right? Yes, I think people like that just need to be shown the truth. And then they'll realize that the situation it's not as simple as saying that Muslims are extremists or anything like that.
Of your knowledge, do you know, or can you tell me, how the Muslim community in both Cardiff and the UK, how have they reacted to these attacks?
As far as I know, there have been a lot of condemnations of the terrorist attacks, and continuous condemnation of the terrorist attacks. I haven't seen so many responses. But from what I've heard, from what I've seen on social media, that has been the trend. There's been more of a trend towards condemning the terrorist attacks. Obviously, there are a few bad eggs who do kind of condone these attacks and do say that, you know, it was right. But generally, there's just been a general feeling of disgust towards what has happened. But I think that, you know, the continuous work to kind of eradicate extremism is still happening, and I think the Muslim community is still heavily involved with that with that struggle, and it's
another thing that we feel it might be an issue is the rise in Islamophobia. As a Muslim in Cardiff, have you or do you worry about that being an issue? Because obviously since these attacks, it's hit quite a lot of people hard, you know, worrying. And obviously some people are quite narrow-minded and might resort to Islamophobia. Do you worry about this being an issue for you, just being in the city?
I'm not worried for myself personally, because I haven't experienced Islamophobia myself, but I've known situations where people have, and often, you know, with the rise of ISIS 2-3 years ago or so, there have been Muslims in other cities, especially in cities like London where there is a sizable Muslim community. In such cities there have been issues of Islamophobia rising there, but I think what people need to realise, and especially those who kind of agree to the kind of rhetoric that they hear of Islamophobia, and they agree to a lot of the views that a lot of Islamophobic forces within society and a lot of divisive forces within society seem to accept. What I would say is that both sides, Islamophobia and also Muslim fundamentalism, they contribute to the same kind of they're on the same wavelength, in the sense that either it can only be Islam, or either Islam should be completely eradicated. So they're either Islam, only Islam can prevail, or only non-Islam can prevail, if you see what I mean. So they're at the same wavelength. They both agreed on the idea that, you know, they can't live side by side with each other, and a third alternative kind of voice needs is rising, and it needs to be supported, which is that we can join hands and we can live together.
There's been talk in France from both the leader and the opposition leader in France, talking about acts of war, talking about France is at war, obviously then currently in a state of emergency. What do you think is next for Paris? Do you think they're under threat from another attack? Do you think their reaction, that they've recently done airstrikes in Syria, do you think the situation may escalate, or do you think we can hope that peace may be achieved?
Yeah, it's a difficult question, because, you know, you can't predict the future and what will happen in the future. Well, you say peace. The issue with ISIS is that they are a very militant organization. I don't think peace is something that's written in their books, although, you know, from the French side, or from the collective side of the majority of what they want, they obviously want there to be some peace. I don't see any agreement happening anytime soon. So maybe the issue might escalate, although I hope it doesn't. You know, I hope issues like that don't escalate. You know, there have been, you know, I've seen videos being posted by ISIS, you know, where they are threatening to attack other cities across Europe.
What can you hope for both France and Britain that might make it easier to be Muslim, but also which might deter terrorist attacks in the future?
As far as making it easier to be Muslim is concerned, I think a lot of work needs to be done on multiple levels, but I do believe that I do believe that the government has a big role in that. For example, the French government could give more rights to their citizens to freely express their religion, wear the religious symbols they want to wear, etc., etc., because then you're not isolating the Muslim community, you're not making them feel isolated. You know, they'll have a sense of belonging in the wider French community. I think the state needs to be needs to condemn, like, or needs to kind of be wary of the media, of their countries, and it needs to condemn any kind of overreactive statements about Muslims being demeaning. Any negative statements on issues surrounding Islam, surrounding the veil, surrounding issues of domestic violence. It needs to make sure that that the media does not contribute to further fears, which a lot of them are irrational fears. Don't get me wrong, there is that threat, there is that Islamist threat, but like I said, it's not an exclusively Islamic thing. It's such a complex issue. So
overall, how have you found the media coverage, both from a Muslim perspective? How have you found that, not only just for the Paris attacks, but just in general, over news of ISIS?
Well, there is good and bad everywhere. In general, I think the media could improve its kind of portrayal of Islam or issues surrounding Muslims or Muslims in general. If it reports things like domestic violence, it shouldn't make it a Muslim thing or an Islamic thing. If it reports things, if it reports other issues on what Muslims do, it shouldn't make it an exclusively Muslim thing. Another thing is, I mean, One aspect that has been overemphasized is women. The idea that either women are oppressed in Islam or they're constantly contested. You know, the woman is constantly contested, the Muslim woman. So I think that needs to stop. But there have been spaces where Muslims are able to negotiate themselves in the media. And there are a lot of examples of that, and those platforms need to be supported.
And on the topic of the media, it came out recently about not only was there an attack in Paris, but also an attack in Beirut and a bombing in Baghdad as well. Do you feel that the media have been fair reporting primarily on Paris? Also, social media on Facebook, they had the French flags overlay on the profile picture. Do you feel like perhaps the Western society has been quite favoritist towards Paris, or do you think since they're like our next door neighbours, it's fair enough?
To be honest with you, no. I don't think it has been fair in the portrayal. I don't think it has been fair because a lot of these attacks, they happen quite regularly in the Middle East and in other countries surrounding the Middle East and in and Central Asia. So, you know, it's not fair. I would say the media coverage is not fair. But then again, you know, it takes something like that for people to realise how much of a threat ISIS is, and to realise that actually ISIS are doing so much wrong. You know, the fact that people are now engaged has got a lot to do with the heightened media coverage of what's happened in Paris, especially if it's so close by. You know, now people are realizing that it's something which concerns them now. Before, a lot of, you know, thousands of miles away, you know, people were dying, but a lot of focus, you know, people were not really engaged with what was happening over there in general, but now they're seeing that it's so close by. You know, obviously there is more more empathy with what's happening. But I would encourage people to look at the wider issues and look at the fact that this has been going on for a very long time. And even before ISIS, there have always been other groups, Al-Qaeda, etc., what have you, and the Taliban, what have you. And to really study, you know, why these groups came about in the first place. You know, there are wider implications, you know, that have got to do with history and not just contemporary politics, but, you know, politics of the last 50 years and even before that. So, you know, I think people need to be more politically engaged. You know, to some extent, you know, obviously not everyone can be a politician, but I think everyone needs to be an activist to a certain extent. I think people just need to stand up for something. You know, it's not you know, being apathetic. You know, you're putting yourself in an illusion, I feel. So I think now is a chance for people to actually gain awareness of these issues and for these issues to be talked about.
Thanks for joining us, Hasnan.
Thank you for having me.
As I said beforehand, I also found Hasnan's interview really inspiring and really powerful. You can tell that times do look uncertain. It may seem like an overreaction to say that, but it can't be easy being a Muslim at the moment, especially with all the bad press they get. And that brings up the other question, which I did ask Hasnan about the media. Is the media fair? Since that interview was recorded, on the 19th of November, 32 people died in Nigeria when an explosion went off, which was blamed on the terrorist group Boko Haram. When I found this news story, I found it on USA Today, and it wasn't really reported on much in the British press, not that I could find anyway. With thanks to my guests, Katie Shivek, Justine Belaid, and Hasnan Hussein. Music was by Kevin McLeod and Chris Zabriskie. The links are in the description, so you can see more of their music. Also with thanks to Express Radio, Cardiff University's award-winning radio station, for use of their studio to record this podcast. Now, I'm new to podcasting, and I'd love to get your feedback. Find us on Twitter, at thinktank_radio. Stay tuned for the next episode of Think Tank. You can find us on Mixcloud and on iTunes Podcasts. And just a quick note, this podcast was made for creative and informative purposes. It shouldn't be taken too seriously, but I really hope you've enjoyed it. You have been listening to Think Tank, a free and independent podcast recorded in Cardiff, Wales. Thanks for listening.